Hello, hello, and welcome to all my fantastic radio listeners out there. I hope your day is full of energy, positive vibes, and good health. Welcome to Simply Healthy Talk Show with producer Auntie K, right here on Word SBC 88.3 FM. I'm your host, Bridget Balbastian, a.k.a. Lady B, and it's a pleasure to have you joining us today. Today, our topic is neurodivergent, and you will find out later on in the show what that is. And probably in the word that you may know. And I have two beautiful ladies here today, and they're going to share some of this information. And before we get started, I want them to introduce themselves. Who's going to start first?
I'll be that one. Hello, everyone. My name is Philippa Roll, and I am a registered and licensed occupational therapist here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I am also the president of the Occupational Therapy Association of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. and I'm the proprietor at TheraWorks Therapeutic Services, and I'm employed at the Bahamas Neurological Center. And I am a proud member of the great Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Amen.
Hello, ¿cómo están todos? Mi nombre es, my name is Marjolin Batista, I'm a general doctor. And I attend the Living Faith Church.
The great Living Faith Church. And as you can hear, she speaks some Spanish. Now,
that's
if I
right.
could speak some Spanish, you know, I'd say a little something, something, but I only know hola, okay, for now. So that topic that we mentioned earlier, we're actually talking about autism. And for those of you that may not know what autism is, I'm going to ask one of the ladies to tell us, what is autism?
Yes, autism. A spectrum disorder is a condition mm-hmm. related to brain development
okay.
that impacts how a person perceives and socializes with others, mm-hmm. causing problems in social interaction and communication.
Okay.
The condition also includes limited and repetitive patterns of behavior. The term spectrum in the autism spectrum disorder refers to a wide range of signs and symptoms and severity. Mm-hmm. Autism can fall on three levels, depending on the symptoms and how they impact the person's day-to-day life. We have level one, mm-hmm. requiring support, level two, requiring substantial support, and level three, requiring very substantial support.
Okay.
We still do not know exactly what causes autism, however, it is believed that both genetics and other environmental factors play a role.
Okay. That's you said there are three levels. One is requiring support,
yeah.
then substantial support, and then very substantial support.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And are there signs? Well, me as a person, would I be able to tell? Or
Sometimes you can tell. Mm-hmm. You can see some signs of these children. They are sensitive to noises.
Okay.
Sometimes you will see some delays,
uh-huh.
Some delays in communication, mm-hmm. social interactions. Mm-hmm.
There are also some signs as far as there are some children that stem, what we call, when we talk about repetitive behaviors,
right.
Where they may be flapping their hands, they may okay. be spinning around mm-hmm, in a circle. Mm-hmm. Also, there's something called vocal stim, so you okay. hear that little high pitch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So those are just some of the signs of symptoms that
okay.
you may see.
Yes, because I think I came across a child like that at one point. At first, I didn't know what to do, and I said, okay, let's calm down. Maybe sing something or play some music. And I realized that kind of helped them to calm down instead of shouting at them, like, what's wrong with you? Or, you know, roughing them up and all that stuff.
That was a good approach.
Yeah. Yes. So does this appear often in early development, or do you just
yes.
come about and say, I'm autistic?
Yes, often appear early in development when there are obvious delays in language skill and social interaction. So your doctor may recommend developmental tests mm-hmm. to identify if your child has delays in language, social
right.
skill. For example,
uh-huh.
if your child doesn't respond with a smile or happy expression by 6 months, that's
okay.
a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say single words by 16 months
mm.
or doesn't say two word phrases by 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
So those are red flags that you will check it out with your doctor.
So they can probably have like one or all of these at one time, or
they can have one or two, but they may not have all at all. Some children may are verbal, others are not verbal, so there is no way to tell exactly if they are.
Okay.
They will not present all the signs and symptoms.
Oh. Because, you know, some children start late in life doing certain things. And we just be like, oh, there's nothing wrong with them. They'll get it at some point.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes the children, the families are bilingual.
Okay.
So sometimes they speak three or four languages, so they speak a little. Yeah.
Okay. What's the youngest that you've had to diagnose?
The youngest that I've experienced has been about 18 months.
Oh, wow. Can you tell?
Yeah. Oh, for example, when they want something, they don't point. They take your hands and take you to the if they want milk, they don't say milk. They take your hand and take it to the refrigerator. If they don't have eye contact with you, you want to talk to them, or the mommy trying to get a smile but look away, and those kind of things.
Now, you know, sometimes it can be, I don't know, it can be kind of tricky because, you know, you have children, those same kind of things that you're talking about, they take long to do it or they don't do it at all. So in order to, I guess, trying to really tell if something is wrong with your child, you really, really have to pay attention.
Yeah, but, you know, we had milestone that we had to follow. You know, you do the follow-up with your doctor. You do a check-out or demonization. So the doctor may see, and you will see, like, for example, when you call your child and he doesn't respond or she doesn't respond, you say, what's happening?
We have parents who call their children, they don't respond. You know, I said they have autism.
So there's one thing. So screening is always important, right? Because when we talk about, there are some of the signs and symptoms that may be presented in what we call neurotypical.
Right.
And the screening, though, helps to identify that they at least they check the box for 1, 2, 3, more or less than another child would. But we know that all children develop differently and at different times.
Right, that's right.
So it's important that if you see the red flags that Doc has spoken about, that you have them screened, and then that would kind of help to lead to whether they have a diagnosis or not.
Okay.
There are some children, you're correct, that don't answer you because they don't want to, right?
Right.
But then there are some children that they don't answer you because right then and there, they're processing, they weren't able to process that their names were called.
Right.
So we just have to be able, and that's why the approach of taking them to the physician is important.
So you mentioned the younger ones, like teenage years, adult years, you've had to deal with those.
Absolutely, because little children grow into older children, and older children grow into teenagers, and teenagers grow into adults.
And have you had to treat them the same way like when they were little or as a little child?
It depends on what their developmental abilities are at the point where they reach. So there are some that once they reach adulthood, they're able to hold down a job, they're able to make their own meals, live independently, even get married. So it all goes back to the levels that we spoke about earlier and the interventions they may possibly experience. And I don't know if you want to talk about a little bit about interventions.
Yes.
We're
going to talk about intervention in a minute, but we have to take a quick break and we will be right back.
This is Word SBC 88.3 FM, where we live by the Word of God.
Far too many Bahamians are plagued with the debilitating disease called diabetes. In many families, there is someone who suffered a stroke, has an amputated leg, or is mourning the untimely death of a loved one. You need to know that diabetes can be controlled through proper diet and lifestyle change. First, become aware of some of its symptoms. If you are experiencing tingling in the toes, continuous thirst, frequent urination, a wound that wouldn't heal, you need your blood checked for diabetes. Do not accept this plague as a way of life. and resign to the statements like, something has to take you, or when you die, it's just your time. If you have diabetes, don't just sit there and get worse. Do something about it. Take charge of your health. See your doctor or dietitian today and control diabetes before it controls you.
Welcome back to Simply Healthy. I'm your host, Bridget Balbastian, a.k.a. Lady B, and I'm in studio with two ladies, and we're talking about autism. Right before the break, we were about to get into, are there interventions available to assist?
Yes. The interventions will depend on your child's need. One, the diagnosis is made by a pediatrician or psychologist. All depend what the child's need. We had a speech therapy to improve communication skill. We had occupational therapy to teach activities of daily living. We had also physical therapy. We had to work with their nutrition too.
Okay.
Like, for example, gluten-free, casein-free, plenty of fruits and vegetables, and healthy diet.
There's a special diet for them as well?
It's not a special diet, but some of them have some comorbidities. Mm-hmm. Some children may present with gastrointestinal problems.
Okay,
so we try to avoid certain food for them. Mm. And it's already proved that gluten-free diet and casein-free, healthy thing, healthy food, like sugary things, avoid those things.
Right,
we know that.
Yeah, that's a healthy lifestyle.
Yes.
So, okay, you mentioned something about, what did you say? Some kind of disease, sickness, illness. So if your autistic child, let's say you have problems finding food for them to eat or finding things they like. I mean,
you need to try a little by little. Like, we try to avoid the gluten food.
Right.
So we need to learn how to cook their bread with like plantain. We can make the bread with the gluten-free flours and all kinds of things. Plenty of fruit, no sugary drinks.
Right.
No casein free. Uh-huh. No, we can use the almond milk.
Okay, all right. That sounds interesting. Now let's go over to this occupational therapy. That's Miss Roll over here.
That's me.
Can you expand on what is occupational therapy and the role it plays in helping autistic individuals?
Absolutely. So occupational therapy is a health profession that uses the therapeutic use of everyday living activities in order to help a person to develop a skill or to recover a skill. So sometimes we have regression in skills, especially in children, autistic children, right? And it's ultimately to help the person to lead as an independent life as possible, whether that be with support or without support.
Okay.
We're looking at the well-being of a child and the holistic aspects. So we look about the physical, the cognitive, the emotional aspects of a child. We talked about our assistance with daily living tasks. And believe it or not, we take that for granted, right? Things that we do from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed.
Yes.
Play is an occupation for a child.
Oh, wow.
Also attending school, how are they able to adapt and function in the school setting? So we try not to really change the child, but help the environment to adapt for the child's needs.
Okay.
Also sensory processing, how do they perceive information that's coming in and out around them, whether that be through touch, whether that be through hearing, smelling, even the way our bodies move.
Right.
So sometimes we find someone, we say they're clumsy, so to speak. That means their proprioceptive and their vestibular systems are not really working as they should be. So we kind of help to train in those areas to so, you know, for them to be able to function a little bit more in society. Fine motor skills, the importance mm-hmm. of handwriting, mm-hmm. manipulating their clothing, mm-hmm. etc. Mm-hmm. Gross motor skills, it's a large variety, and I could
like
go on for the
yeah.
rest of the day.
Yes, but the goal of treatment, the goal of intervention is to maximize your child's ability to function,
mm-hmm. right.
because there is no cure for autism. So oh. we need to teach them how to function in right. a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. So we try to not, we say fix the person, right? Mm-hmm. But we use their strengths mm-hmm. in order to help them to strengthen their weaknesses or okay. areas that may be of concern for them.
Because I can imagine this can be kind of tough for someone, let's say they have to go to church or school or, you know, just socialize with normal kids. Like, how do you get them to fit into that?
All right. So the aspect is not for them to fit, uh-huh. but for them to feel like they belong.
Okay.
Right? Because everyone's unique
mm-hmm.
and they always have different characteristics that
right.
may stand out.
Mm-hmm.
So being patient with them.
Yes.
You can model behaviors that are socially appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And in social interaction, we're talking about our play skills, our conversation.
Yeah.
The way we perceive and how we problem solve mm-hmm. situations mm-hmm. as well as our emotional. How do we perceive what is being said to us, and just by looking at a person's face, we may know that, oh, this person is serious mm-hmm. versus this person is happy,
right.
you know, and taking those cues and how they do they use that in everyday life.
Okay.
Yeah, so it requires understanding and accommodation, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know, some of us aren't very patient with children.
Yes.
Even the sad that are normal, you know. So I think we need to educate our church members, our family, our friends, because we're not used to dealing with children like that. You may come across one or two, probably at your church or school, whatever, but I think they also need to be educated in how to handle that kind of situation. Because I've seen kids who say they are normal, and they look at someone else who doesn't seem to be as normal as they are. They would make faces at them, or they would run, you know, something like that.
And so that's a part of desensitization,
mm-hmm.
Not just to have that awareness of education, but also a level of acceptance.
Right.
Being able to understand that persons are different
mm-hmm.
and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to teach our children earlier on
yeah.
that the staring is not
yeah.
appropriate. It makes people feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
Neurotypical
yes.
or non or neurodivergent, it makes you feel uncomfortable
right.
because you have these looks.
Yeah.
I may make a sound, I may move differently,
uh-huh.
But that doesn't mean that I'm less than.
Exactly. Perfect.
So
I like that.
Yeah.
So what are the long-term outcomes or prognosis of autistic individuals?
Children with autism disorder typically continue to learn and compensate for problems throughout life. But most will continue to require some level of support.
Mm-hmm.
So planning for your child's future opportunities such as employment, college, living situation, independence, and the services required for support can make this
process
smoother.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. I was supposed to ask, though, what made you get into this type of profession?
Well, funny to ask that question. So initially, going back to when I went to undergrad, I actually was on the track of a pediatrician.
Uh-huh.
But then I decided to do an intro to health professions course, just out of curiosity.
Okay, out of curiosity.
And I did some shadowing hours, and I absolutely loved it. And what I realized is that as a pediatrician, I might have, like, 10 minutes with a child in my office, right?
Okay.
I might write them a script, blah, 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 send them away.
Mm-hmm.
But in my profession now, I'm able to make more of a direct impact.
Excellent.
On a child's life, and even adults as well. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, we are at our second break. So we're going to do that. We're going to take a pause right here, and we will be right back.
He says, love me. We're at SBC 88.3 FM. It's a listener-supported station.
In order to improve our services and continue the work of taking the gospel across the airwaves, we wish to partner with you. If you feel impressed to contribute to this work with your financial support, we invite you to give us a call at 341-4021 or by emailing atvbahamas@gmail.com. You can help the word be a lamp and a light in a dark world. We look forward to partnering with you.
Welcome back to Simply Healthy right here on Word SBC 88.3 FM. I'm your host, Bridget Balbastian, a.k.a. Lady B. And I have two ladies in here that are helping us to, how should I say, be kinder to people that may be autistic. Is that what you're trying to do?
Huh? We're trying to educate trying our to educate community them. To... for them to be kind mm-hmm. and accept them as they are.
Okay, good. So, here's my next question. How can individuals with autism and their families be supported in their spiritual and religious practices?
Excellent. I love that question. The first thing is it requires understanding and accommodation. Uh-huh. I think they need to educate themselves. Mm-hmm. Understanding and acceptance, helping... understand autism and accepting individuals with autism and their families mm-hmm. without judgment.
Okay.
Welcoming spaces, making sure places of worship are comfortable. Mm-hmm. Visual tools, for example, using pictures to and schedule to make the religious practice easier for them.
So let me ask a question. You go to Living Faith, you go to Hillview. Do y'all see that space that can accommodate that? Or you suggest that we get something like that? We have a mother's room. We have anything like that?
Yeah, we have. Yes, I know at our churches we have those rooms. Mm-hmm. But to have a dedicated space is also would be good too. Just for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We don't actually want a special space for special children. We want them to be included in every activity. So what we do... like in Living Faith, we had a room mm-hmm. that had a big glass so uh-huh. the children can sit down there and they play there while their parents listen to the pastor, you know,
okay.
the priest.
Okay, so they still kind of get...
yes, but because what we want, service. Yes, what mm-hmm. we want is that the family feel welcome to come to church every Saturday
okay.
because it's uncomfortable for them. And, you know, the children have some sensory issues that mm. may not be comfortable. So what we're looking for, that the church be appropriate, that the leaders, the pastor, uh-huh. they be educated mm-hmm. and have patience mm-hmm. and be kind with these families.
Okay. All right. You don't want them to feel separated to say, okay, you're special and this one is not. You just want to be a part.
Yeah, part of the thing, with some accommodation, of course, because right. they will need it.
Okay. Well, let's continue on with our, what is that? Families be supported, spiritual and religious
so
practices.
So I just wanted to put in there that mm-hmm. to be aware that spirituality mm-hmm. is an occupation. It's something that we all do. We are right. all spiritual beings, mm-hmm. right? And so, like Doc said, it's important that the entire family feels welcome.
Right.
And, are able to attend church and feel that they were a part of the service.
Right, right.
So when I say a special place, mm-hmm. We're talking about a room that is designed that can meet their needs.
Right.
So they may have sensory needs mm-hmm. such as the visual lighting. Things may be a little bit overstimulating mm-hmm. the loudness of the service as well.
Yeah.
But there are some accommodations that you can do mm-hmm. simply by possibly using headphones that will kind of dampen the sound effects that may come from the service. But then also, like she said, including, if, for instance, you're having a regular church service, you're including visuals that would help them to follow along
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just a lot of talking and then using a lot of big words.
Right.
Sometimes that's even difficult for the general congregation mm-hmm. to follow. Mm-hmm. So inclusion is what we're looking
for. That's something we need to take more notice of in our churches.
Yep.
Okay. Yes, also connection and friendship, you know, creating opportunities for people with autism and their family to connect with others.
Okay.
Also learning together and working together, providing training and resources so everyone can learn how to better support each other.
Yes.
And also, most important is respect and kindness. Making sure everyone feels respect and value, no matter their difference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I agree. Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, I think we as a people could possibly utilize moving away from labeling children as rude or disrespectful, you know, all of those words that we use to describe.
Yes.
But we need to move towards the place of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, whether the child is autistic or not, we are able to provide better outcomes for them.
Yes, you know? Yes. So therapy now, is it affordable?
If I'm being honest, and sometimes.
Sometimes?
It depends. It depends on what resources the parents have access to.
Okay.
Be honest.
So, someone who may not be able to afford it, can you help them to probably deal with their child at home?
So there are some areas where I can provide, a home program if the parent absolutely cannot afford treatment. Because the end of the day is looking out for that child.
Right.
Right. How can we better help them to function in their everyday life?
Mm-hmm.
So, as an occupational therapist, I could speak for we're more empathetic and we kind of try to work with individuals.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yes, but if you cannot afford a speech therapy, occupational therapy, you can do other things to help your child. So, I think that we have to remember that God loves you and loves your child.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the second thing that you have to do is educate yourself about your child condition. There is get support system, a support system, your family, your friends, the church member, your brothers and sisters at church need to know that your child had a condition and they need to be patient and kind with your child.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you need to start a work plan for your child according to what your child needs. For example, if your child has some sensory issues, so you're going to get a
headset,
trying to do something. Also, at home, you can label things, like talk to them. And, it's playing. They're learning playing.
Excellent. Doc, jump ahead of me because I was going to ask you guys to give us a little take-home advice for the parents, you know, who might be experiencing this. So she just answered her question. Philippa, do you have anything to add to that as we wrap up?
So one thing I would want to say is utilizing your social support. So sometimes we may live in isolation because we're afraid of judgment or afraid that persons will, you know, see us in a lesser light. But utilize that social support. Identify at least one trusting person.
Yes.
I recommend that parents take, if it's like at least one day for yourself in a month.
Yes.
So that you can have that mental break.
Yes.
Even sometimes the physical break is mental and physical break is needed. Also, establishing non-complex family routines.
Okay.
So ensuring that your child is a part of everything that you do within your household. If you have to simplify things or if you have to change things a little bit, making sure that there's a routine within your family.
Excellent.
And another thing is communicate with them.
Yes.
Sometimes we feel as though they may not be able to understand what we're saying, but communicate as if they understand anyway, because believe it or not, they understand a little bit more than we sometimes give them credit for.
Yeah.
And that too can help them to develop their communication skills.
Okay, excellent. Well, ladies, it's been a pleasure having you here with us.
Thank you.
And I hope somebody was blessed by it and probably got some tips on how they can deal with an autistic child if they may have one, or probably a friend, a family. So we appreciate that a whole lot.
Thank you for having me.
And so, we are at the end of our show. You want to say something in Spanish first, like goodbye, you know? No, I wish I could speak Spanish, but say something. Oh, goodbye.
Espero que pasen una excelente tarde y que sean respetuosos y amorosos con todos los niños que tienen autismo.
Okay, I don't know what she said, but it sounded good. We have come to the end of our show, and I just want to remind you about airing times. We air Mondays from 9 to 9:30 a.m., 1 to 1:30 p.m., and 7:30 to 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 9 to 9:30 a.m., and then again on Friday from 3 to 3:30 p.m. And as I always tell you, remember, until next time, God is love. Stay curious, stay informed, stay healthy and happy, and let's keep the conversations alive. I'm Bridget Bell Bastian, a.k.a. Lady B, for Word SBC 88.3 FM. Remember, guys, it's not complicated, it's simply healthy.